Inquiry investigating Donald Trump is going public and is hearing in public its first witnesses today. On Skype to us is Jacob Parakilas, an associate at the London School of Economics Foreign Policy Think Tank. Jake, good afternoon. Are you there, sir? Jake, are you with us? No. No. We'll have to give that a try and see if we can establish some comment. The Republicans are saying that they're not even going to be watching hearings. They think it's so ridiculous that they're not even going to be watching. We might have established the Skype contact now. Jake, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Ah, terrific. The fact that they're going public, that they've kind of gone from behind closed doors out into the open, televising, etc. It shows a degree of confidence, does it? Is that the right way to interpret it?
I think it's partly a degree of confidence and also partly a sense that to some degree audience they need to reach isn't on Capitol Hill. It's not the Democrats who are almost certainly going to announce articles of impeachment, having gone this far. And it's not who have been pretty solid in their support of their party's president. It's the public. Everyone knows the Senate math does not favor actual removal. So the question is, to what extent can Democrats, very divided, very polarized public, that the president did something that was unambiguously wrong, and whether or not the Senate votes to impeach him, to what extent can they roll that into the case to replace him when voting begins just under 12 months from now?
Yeah, you say that the maths in the Senate doesn't stack up at the moment, and at the moment it doesn't, but surely there becomes a point, and this goes to the issue that you've just raised, convincing the public and potential voters that Donald Trump has done something so terrible. If it reaches a point where the Republican hierarchy go, you know what, having Donald on our ticket kind of hands it over to the Democrats, that Senate vote might change.
It's possible. And I think if there's one thing that we've learned over the last 3 years, it's that the space of political possibility is much broader than what we observers, what the sort of conventional wisdom holds, might have thought. I think the conventional wisdom was very much against Donald Trump being the Republican nominee or winning the election. So certainly there is a space of political possibility that extends beyond our traditional measurings of what we think is likely. I think the space of political likelihood is smaller than that. Somewhere in between those two lies the truth of the matter. And certainly there is a point at which Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell might judge that the greater threat to his continued hold on the majority in the United States Senate is the existence of a president and a nominee for re-election, Donald Trump, rather than the threats to his members that might come if they broke from the party line and voted against Trump. Certainly there are some Republican senators in swing states, Cory Gardner in Colorado, Susan Collins in Maine, for example, who will be put in a very, very difficult spot by having to vote for a candidate, vote to keep or remove a president who their own constituents largely didn't vote to elect in the first place. But those are very sort of specific considerations belonging to specific members, and you would need at least 20 Republican senators to go along with impeachment to actually remove him.
I mean, you used the phrase the truth of the matter, and the truth of the matter is that the truth doesn't matter. This is a post-fact world. American politics at the moment, not just American politics, operates in a post-fact world. It simply doesn't seem to matter to many Republicans what Donald Trump did or didn't do. I mean, it seems to me self-evident that he put pressure on the Ukrainian president to open corruption investigations into Joe and Hunter Biden's workings in the Ukraine, and said, if you don't do so, you won't get military aid from us. And if you do so, you'll get an invite to the White House. But, you know, the facts of that don't matter.
It certainly a different dynamic than we saw in the most comparable process, which was the impeachment inquiry into Richard Nixon. And there you had a concealed truth, the fact that Nixon was aware of and in fact directed the cover-up. And when that was revealed, you suddenly saw a change in public opinion, a change in the calculus of how many votes there would be to pass articles of impeachment and to vote for conviction. And at that point, the bipartisan leaders of the House and Senate conveyed to Nixon that he was done for and Nixon resigned. This whole process has begun with a more or less open admission of what should be seen as extortion, attempted bribery. This was the use of the American political and foreign policy system political gain. And that's essentially been admitted. The Trump keeps tweeting, read the transcript, read the transcript. Well, the transcript speaks to that. It suggests very strongly and has been corroborated by all we've learned about Rudy Giuliani's shadow foreign policy and his associates, some of whom have already been in related matters. Well, the president did it, so it's not wrong and it's not illegal. And that may be enough to convince Republican Party and certainly enough Republican senators to keep Donald Trump in office at least until November of next year.
Thank you very much to Jacob Parakilis, an associate at the London School of Economics Foreign Policy Think Tank. Apologies for the dropouts every now and then, but I don't think that they were significant enough to interfere with understanding the meaning of what Jake was saying to us.